Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
Yo, yo, this is Mike Cashew, your host and my co-host.
Adi Cashew.
So Adi, today I want to talk about nutrition coaching. You now work with literally dozens of CrossFit Games athletes, and you've worked with, I don't know, it's probably nearing 50 Games athletes total. And you've created a team of now over 30 coaches, and together the team has coached over 15,000 people. And it's really interesting, especially looking at the Games athletes, for instance, that they choose you and they continue to seek you out year after year after year. And some of them even have even left, gone and worked with someone else, and then come back to you. And I've talked with a lot of them personally, and you're just an incredible nutrition coach. You're an incredible nutrition coach. And I think you're doing a few things, some subtle things that are not rocket science that really help you stand out and be really effective with people that I think would be really beneficial for other nutrition coaches to hear. So my first question to you is, what makes you a great nutrition coach?
Oh, it's a hard question, but appreciate it. First and foremost, it's even like in our, we have WAG values that we number in order of importance. I think there's eight of them. And the first two are like almost should be both like 1A, 1B. And 1B is a judgment-free safe zone. And I think that what I do, and I hope that all of our coaches do, and I know that I know that all of our coaches are doing this or working on this for sure, is creating a safe and judgment-free environment for people to be able to explore different areas of their nutrition without feeling like they're going to be chastised for it, or they're going to like make a massive mistake, or they have to like stick to one particular rigid plan. And if they're off of it, they've like failed. Creating a space where it's okay to make mistakes, where honesty is a huge factor, especially when you're working with people online. If they're not honest with you, I mean, my job is tied up. Like, I can't do my job if I don't have the information that I'm actually supposed to get, or I don't have as much information as possible, then I can only do my job so well. So creating a space where people can give me information that they're probably not giving anybody else, like information about how they're feeling about themselves, information about the people in their life and how those people are influencing their behaviors, or, you know, the fact that they might have woken up in the middle of the night and eaten more than they were supposed to. Like, making that, it's like, it's okay to talk about that. And I'm not going to judge you for any of those things.
How do you do that? How do you make it safe? How do you kind of pull that or invite them to share that sort of information with you?
I think initially it's creating a base relationship of, you know, I'm a real person. I'm a real human. You can have confidence that I've done this a lot of times before. There's nothing that I've never seen. Really reiterating every time, like, and congratulating them on the things that they're doing really well, and makes them feel like, okay, I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and like pointing out the things that they're doing really well and making them feel comfortable and confident and safe. Like, I'm, like, a lot of people want to impress their coaches or want to live up to their coaches' expectations, and letting them know that there's no way for them not to do that. Like, there is no way that they're going to check in with me. And like, that alone is a miracle within itself. Like, that they've, that these people are taking time out of their day to send me information about themselves. Like, you've already met my expectations. So making that 100% clear, like, you are doing, moving in the direction that we want to be moving in just because we're having this communication, allows it, like, now we've met success. So nothing else is as important, if that makes sense. Also share with them things that have been struggles for me. I really try,
I really try
and like read between the lines too. So let's say I get like a single sentence from a client in their check-in, like, week was really great, feeling better. Like, that is, we call that minimalist check-in. Like, there's so little information there, but there's so much information that I have outside of just that one sentence. I can look at, you know, how were they even tracking their food this week? What was the food that they were actually eating this week? Were they hitting their protein every single day? Were they hitting their carbs or their fat? Like, how far off were they on everything? I get their mood, energy, stress, hunger is like part of the check-in process. So I have to like assess that information as well. So it gives me an opportunity to see, oh, if stress was really high, I can just ask questions like, hey, I know that I'm really stressed out in these scenarios and that's always affected my weight, or whatever it is, relating it back to like my own experience when appropriate. And I think that lets people know that I'm a human being, mm-hmm. and I've been there before, and this is a place where like I get it because I'm just like you.
Yeah, one thing, I'm not sure who I learned this from, but whenever we want to create a place where people can be vulnerable, we almost always have to lead that relationship. We have to be a little bit vulnerable ourselves. And so I think that's something that you do extremely, extremely well. And you also, like you said, you help people see what they're already doing right so that they're motivated, they're feeling confident, and they feel like you're on their team.
And if it makes it so that if they are doing things that are not 100% the way that you want them to be, it's okay because they're succeeding in some capacity. If there's no way that they're succeeding, then it puts a lot more weight on the other stuff, like the stuff that they're not doing as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to reveal the things I'm not doing well because there's nothing that I am doing really well. So just there's something to find that they're doing well every single week.
And I think people can only handle so much critical feedback at one time. I've come a really long way in this department because I used to be so critical and I would pay such close attention to detail to people's movement in particular. And I could just find a million things that they're doing incorrectly. But what I've come to realize over time is that the most important thing for people is consistency, that they continue being motivated and stick to this thing, whether it be, you know, getting better at a movement or sticking to a nutrition plan or whatever it is. The most important thing is that they adhere to the program and are consistent.
And it's kind of like being in an emergency room and like a triage. Like, you have to assess all of the issues that are happening or all of the things that need to get done or need to be fixed or healed or whatever it is, and picking the thing that needs like the most attention first, and then the other stuff has to wait. It's like the bullet wound comes first because that person only has X amount of time, you know? Like, it's like a triage of here's all the things that we need to be working on, but I'm going to pick like the biggest impact first, and I don't even want to focus on the other stuff. So it's like, if you have an athlete who just came off of the off season and their weight is way heavier than it was at the beginning of the season, and they've just like really overindulged and they're feeling guilty about that, it's like, let's not even get on the scale. Like, right now, the scale doesn't matter. So like, let's not even get on the scale. It's not a piece of information we need to have. And you just triage knowing that that's not really important right now. We need to work on something different.
I was working with these two older ladies at the last Brute Retreat. We were working on a clean and jerk. And these ladies had at least a dozen things that could be improved, right? Set up position, where the bar is hitting off their leg, full extension, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I noticed this kind of aha moment for me where in the past I would have just went to like work on all of them at once, but I chose to praise them as much as possible and just teach them. My goal was to teach them one thing that they could, that would help them improve and have them feeling like really confident and excited to keep training. And so that's what I did. And they got better at that one thing. And they were super pumped up and having a good time at the end of the session, which tells me they're probably going to be excited to do more of this and they're going to stay on track.
I think you can almost assume that everybody is already criticizing themselves and it's more difficult for them to find the things that they're succeeding in. So you have to be like a little detective on finding what they're succeeding in and pointing it out to help them feel great about what they're doing. Being the criticizer is, like I said, like you want to triage like the most important thing that you want to focus on, but focusing on all of them, like they're already thinking about that. Mm-hmm. You could just be putting them in this hole that they feel like they're never going to get out of. Right. It's like, oh, I have all of that to work on. It's like, oh, geez, like why am I even doing this?
Another reason that I think makes you such an incredible teacher in general, and nutrition coach is that you're very, very self-aware. How do you think your like personal development over the years has contributed to you being a better coach?
We were talking before the podcast about something called the writing reflex. It's like when you feel like you have an expertise in some capacity and you see somebody doing something that is not right for them, your reaction is a writing reflex where you want to step in and direct them to go in the direction you know is right for them. This often looks like unwanted advice, or you're just like blurting out like this stuff that you know is good, but the way that you do it immediately gets met with resistance from that person. And that person knows, like they know that that's like, they probably know that's a good thing for them, but because you didn't have a level of awareness of how to say it and when sometimes not to say anything at all, is really, really a huge skill as a coach to become aware of. And it's like, we know you're the expert. We know you know what they should be doing, but telling somebody what to do, like you are the like dictator of this relationship, is a very quick way to get somebody to not want to work with you or not feel like they don't have a choice in the matter. Or it's like, I didn't ask you for that. Like, I know the right way. It's kind of like telling an addict they need to stop drinking. It's like, well, they know, but you telling them isn't helping them in the matter. Instead, being more self-aware myself, I can notice when I'm trying to like say something that maybe is not the right time to say it, or not saying something is sometimes more valuable than saying something. So just picking and choosing the right things to say and noticing in myself when I'm like, no, like don't do that. That's like not what you want to do. It's like totally crushing your goals. And just like taking a breath and being like, okay, like what can we work on here that is going to move us in a better direction?
I see this all the time with really young coaches that just got into coaching, again, whether it be strength and conditioning or nutrition or newly into teaching or something like that, they tend to be insecure and they want the client or the athlete to know that they know what they're talking about. Mm. And so that's kind of the most important thing. And the results for the client are kind of secondary to that. I picked up this concept a little while ago from Eben Pagan, a friend of ours. And he said, a lot of coaches, they want to be the hero in like a training session. They want to be the one to give the client or athlete some kind of aha moment. And I've noticed that in myself. Like I'll be talking to someone, they're telling me about a problem, and I know that I have this new way of thinking about the problem that can really help them. Or I know that I have a concept that could really help them have some new behavior or a new habit, right? And it's really tempting for me sometimes to share that and for them to be like, whoa, you're the man. Like, I never thought about it that way.
Right.
But it's a selfish way of going about it, because when we do that, we're robbing them of giving themselves the aha moment.
Yeah.
And one thing that you're incredible at is just asking great questions, and you let people come to their own conclusions.
Sure.
So when you're noticing that writing reflex, anybody listening, you're the expert here. When you're going to know things that could help people improve, and the best way to help them reach those results, get those results, is help them come to that conclusion, that aha moment on
right.
their own.
Ask questions that lead them in that direction instead of just giving it to them. It's like doing something for somebody that they could figure it out on their own. And you can either ask questions, or you can ask them if you can provide a suggestion that you've seen work for other people. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I would love to like give you some advice on what I've seen work for a bunch of people. Like, how do you feel about that? And then it gives them the opportunity to opt into getting that advice from you instead of you just like pushing it on them without them having a say. I think that really, really helps for a lot of people. And a really great coach, like you're saying, the person that you're coaching is doing the work for themselves. Like, it's not like you are the reason that they're succeeding. They're actually the reason that they're succeeding. You are more like a guide that's doing like little taps, like tapping them in the right direction. Like, if they're getting a little bit off track, you're like kind of
bowling bumpers.
Yeah, like you're like the bumpers in the bowling alley. It's like tapping them back into the right direction, but they're actually the ones doing the work and realizing that like they're the expert of themselves. You're the expert in what you do, but they're the expert of them. So you just have to remember that. And you guys are a team working together, not like I am what's making these people successful. Like, absolutely not. Like, they are making them successful for sure.
And the tapping is a metaphor. You can't tap that. That's a HR violation.
Okay. Good thing we work online.
What else makes a great nutrition coach?
I think that we talked about being human, creating a safe space, judgment-free. We talked about not using the writing reflex, knowing when to say something, when not to say something. I also think that in terms of nutrition, like having an understanding of nutrition in general, like what food does to your body. The science behind it. If they're experiencing certain symptoms, like what to look at to be like, if their weight's going up and it's not what you expected, like where to look next, you know, what kind of like that triage idea, like, okay, what's the next thing that I'm going to look at if I haven't found the answer? Nutrition is so complex. Like, it's so involved in your stress, your routine, your schedule, some level of like accuracy, because sometimes what you eat is not actually what it is, or maybe you've calculated it incorrectly. You're eating different things, you're traveling, you're around different influences, cultural holidays. Like, it's so complex. So having an understanding of, you know, when it's appropriate to make a change to someone's nutrition program and when you need to focus a little bit more on behaviors that are going on or ask more questions to be more of a detective. Having that understanding is really, really important. Like, feeling confident in collecting as much information as possible and knowing what to do with that information.
Right. So why do we focus so much on behavior at WAG?
I don't think losing weight is necessarily that difficult. I know that a lot of people struggle with losing weight. So when I say it's not that difficult, it means like we know how.
Right.
So
we know the science.
We know how to lose weight. Like, we know there's tons of different diets out there. There's tons of different styles of programs out there. And all of those can help you lose weight if you stick to them properly. The problem of what's difficult is actually the sticking to it. So losing weight technically is really easy. It's keeping weight off as well as the discipline that is required to make that work in your life long term. So like, keeping that weight off is really the hard part. So therefore, like, I think the biggest bang for our buck and making the biggest impact we possibly can is focusing on how do people design their life in a way that they can maintain the progress that they want to have. I don't want to just lose weight and then gain it all back plus some. Like, that's just a terrible cycle to be on emotionally, physically, for so many different reasons. So I think that the answer is in integrating healthy habits and behaviors into your lifestyle that can help you keep your progress long term.
You want to talk about the level two, the coaching manual, a little bit?
Yeah.
Because I think that's where we really dive into changing people's behavior.
Yeah. So we have two different levels of our coaching program right now. We change our coaching program every 6 months. So, I mean, it's constantly evolving. I think that's also like a thing that makes a great nutrition coach. A great nutrition coach is like knowing that nutrition is always changing and always trying to up your game and never thinking that you've like reached the end of understanding it all. But our level one is more on the science, or like creating a program for somebody, how to make adjustments, like that type of stuff. And level two is much more on the psychology and the behaviors and habits behind eating. Like, we talk about that writing reflex and motivational interviewing and how to ask really good questions.
Growth mindset, vulnerability.
Yeah. So we talk a lot more about why, like, a first impression, why your first impression is really important as a nutrition coach, and how to like maximize that first impression, and just how to change your environment. We have an amazing chapter on like how to design your kitchen in a way that's most likely to keep you successful. That type of stuff, I think, is so powerful. It's kind of like the concept in training of like mastering the mundane. Travis Mash taught me that. It's like, that's the stuff that keeps people successful long term, but it's mundane shit that nobody wants to do. It's like stretching or like recovery or like warming up. Like, we all want like the glory of like the losing weight and the eating good food and like that type of stuff. We don't want to do the kind of like the mundane, monotonous focusing on your environment or like being more vulnerable or self-aware. It's like a lot more subtle, the progress that you get from those types of things. But I really think that's where like you're going to get your like really base of the pyramid, biggest bang for your buck.
And a great way to learn about these things is to kind of dive into personal development a little bit. Like, these are things that a lot of the things that we just mentioned growth mindset, vulnerability, the writing reflex. These are ways of communicating with yourself and others that are going to lead to you being happier, more fulfilled, having better relationships that are just automatically going to lead to you being a better leader and teacher and nutrition coach.
For sure. I think that's another thing that makes a great nutrition coach a great nutrition coach is that they're working on themselves as well. They're in the game too. And when you're in the game yourself, you can notice things in other people mm-hmm. more. Like I'm noticing the way I speak to myself. And if I'm working on that, I can notice more the language that a client's working when they're talking to me. I'll notice more of, you know, they always make me feel that way. And mm-hmm. I can notice, you know, that they're maybe blaming other people for things that are going on in their life. And we can maybe touch on that a little bit and help them take the power back themselves. Like just if you're working on it yourself, then it's easier to stay up to date and connected to the work that you're doing.
Is there anything that makes a bad nutrition coach or anything that you see nutrition coaches doing that really doesn't work?
I think that like the biggest red flag is when somebody says there's an absolute right way to do something or a wrong way to do something. Like this is the wrong way to eat or this is the right way to eat. I think it's so much more complex than that, that I don't think there is, you could possibly come to some conclusion of, you know, this is the right way to do it or this is the wrong way to do it. Or, you know, you're going to lose this much weight in this much time, like definitive things like that. Like it should take this long to make progress. We are so complex in terms of being human beings. So anybody who's making claims like that is immediately a red flag for me. Like you're going to lose X weight in X time, or I'm going to tell you the right way to do things or help you avoid the wrong way of doing things. Don't think that it really works that way. So I think that's an immediate red flag. I also think when a nutrition coach is not open to answering questions. Like if somebody has a question about something, or maybe they're questioning the way that you're doing something. I think you should be A, super confident in knowing that you had a reasoning behind making a decision that you made, or B, open to being wrong, like open to making a mistake. A lot of nutrition is kind of like an art in terms of you're making a change hoping it's going to lead to some result, but it might not do what you're hoping it's going to do. So maybe it wasn't the adjustment that was the answer, and you have to now look for something different. So open to being like, okay, I didn't, you know, that one didn't work, and I thought it was going to do this, and this is the reason why I decided to make that change, but it didn't do what I hoped it was going to do. So now we're going to go down the list of things that we could possibly try.
Right.
So open to making mistakes, and also being open to answering questions. Like if I asked a coach a question and they were like, just trust me.
Right.
I'd be like, I don't know.
But I don't.
Yeah. Like,
this is how you're going to help me trust
you. Yeah, exactly. Like I just want to be in on your decision-making process. And of course, a nutrition coach to being like, you need to do it this way. You
right,
know,
right.
This is the way that you need to do it. I'm definitely always open to, if you talk to any athlete I've worked with, I'm definitely always open to them leading the way. Like, you want to try something. If you've made a choice, like you want to try something, I'm probably not going to convince you not to. And it's easier.
You might challenge it.
I might challenge it and like explain what I think about it. But I will also be there to be the accountability partner to see if that actually does work. And I'm open to them having a great idea. I mean, Jessica Lucero preparing for world championships that just happened this past weekend. She, on the way, she had just cut for the AO3 to qualify for world championships. And that was a really hard weight cut. So preparing for world championships, she needed like a little bit of a mental break from just paying attention to her food. But we only had 7 weeks in preparation to get on weight again. So we didn't really have that much time to like mess around with things. And she had a plan that she wanted to eat similar things every single day and not use MyFitnessPal at all. And she like pre-programmed what a day would look like beforehand. And so she knew that she was going to be like in a particular range. And she just ate those foods for a week. And like it gave her the mental break that she needed. And that was not a suggestion that came from me. That was a suggestion that came from her. And do I think I've maybe like had an influence on her to be able to make those kinds of decisions? Maybe. But it's really cool that she came up with that herself. And if I was a guide to help her be able to make those choices for herself and like feel empowered and confident in her own abilities, like, fuck yeah, that's awesome.
So guys, I hope this was helpful. If you're Whether you're a nutrition coach or you're just a teacher, leader, guide of some sort, hopefully this has been beneficial to you. Also, we just launched our coach training course for the first time. This is the same training course that we've used to coach now over 30 nutrition coaches. And it has two levels. Level one is the nutrition science, the how to set and change macros, how to do check-ins with clients.
Yeah.
This is the science portion. Mm-hmm. And the level two manual is the kind of the communication, the mindset aspect, the habits, behaviors aspect of being a coach. So if you're interested in that, you can.
And then also on top of that, you also, we have continuing education that goes beyond that. So every single month after you finish that program, we send you new pieces of information that are not necessarily included, but our coaches get every single month, they get a new piece of education. So it could be breastfeeding. It could be working with endurance athletes. It could be the zone diet. You'll get new chapters every single month after that.
And you can reach out to us at info@workingagainstgravity.com if you're interested, and we'll put you on the list.
Yes.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram @workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.